141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an incredible night of European football. Rangers are hammered 7-1 by Liverpool, leaving Giovanni Van Bronckhorst stunned. The night got even worse when Conor Goldson left Ibrox on crutches after hobbling off. And it's been a tough old week for Scottish clubs in Europe. Hearts are already one down in Florence against Fiorentina. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have the pleasure of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, what can you say? What's not already been said about the game last night? Incredibly sobering evening for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and his side. 7-1 at home, not been seen for a long, long time, and one of the worst European results that we've seen in Scotland. And how does he pick his side up after that? Well, he's going to have to. He's only got a couple of days to. They're back in league action. But the incredible thing is, when you look at the overall table, they are still in with a shout at European football after Christmas if they can sort themselves out. But it's a long way back after that.
Yeah, she's certainly, Mark's certainly given Rangers fans encouragement out there. I think they'll need every bit of it. You can say a game of two halves, Gordon. Rangers getting 1-1. You're thinking taking the lead with Arfield's goal, a terrific goal, doing okay. And then the roof came in. And you've seen by the scenes of the Rangers fans had enough. They were leaving in their droves. By the time the referee put his whistle to his mouth to end the game, all the Rangers fans were nearly home. So really bad night at the office.
Come on then, 01419511025. Usually I would ask where did it go wrong, but my goodness, it clearly went wrong in a few different departments. So get in touch, Rangers fans. Were you there? What was it like? Maybe some of you watched at home and found it a bit easier, able to just turn it off at whatever moment annoyed you the most. But let's get in touch. Let's go through it all together and see what you made of it. 01419511025. Yes, of course, there will be statements about budgets and finances, and can our clubs really compete at that level? Probably not. But then other people will say, well, there's a line. And it was perhaps crossed with the manner of the defeat last night. But you decide. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Of course, it does form part of a tough week for Scottish clubs in Europe, and unless things improve drastically in Florence, Mark Wilson, that will continue. 19 minutes gone, Fiorentina 1, Hearts 0. Hearts started okay, they hit the post, but they do find themselves one down. I think they were forced into a change at the back as well, if that actually did take place.
Yeah.
So yeah, tough. But again, versus your expectations, you know, should Hearts go to Fiorentina and get something? Maybe not, but at some point we're going to have to stop saying that and hope that somebody can do the unexpected.
Yeah, of course. I know this, the big financial gap, we all know that, with Scottish teams and these teams in other parts of Europe and in the big leagues. But we're in the competition. We have to find a way of competing somehow. Now, if we're analysing Hearts, their chance last week was at home when they've got Tynecastle against Fiorentina. Don't think many people would have expected them to come out here and win. But last week was an incredibly disappointing thing. And then when you follow up, it's a back-to-back game and you're away from home, then you go into it and your own confidence as it is, never mind losing an early goal. So 20 minutes in, they find themselves behind against a decent side. Could be another long night for a Scottish team in Europe.
Right, 01419511025. We're not going to hang about much longer because you, according to the screen to my left, are chomping at the bit to get on and have your say on last night. Graham, as a Rangers fan, how do you feel almost a day on?
I'm hoping it would be a decade on, if I'm honest. I'm not finding that funny. I find that extremely hurtful to say.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No apologies. I think the Rangers team should be the first and foremost. I've got a few points, Gordon. That display last night goes back to the worst defeat at Ibrox, if I'm correct, maybe producer or yourself can correct me, 1957, we get hammered 7-1, and guess by who? Celtic at Ibrox. Now, there's 2 points that will fall on from this. The system that we played seemed to work, and then it fell apart. So, 2 points to the guys. where's Gio's B plan? This reminds me of the Stevie G era. Where's his B plan? 72 minutes, he's shouting the three boys, Morelos, Matondo, Wright, and he's saying, well, hurry up, hurry up. Why did they not change that at 60 minutes? So that's my first point, the formation. We're getting bet, and quite comfortably bet. And then Liverpool just up the ante towards the final whistle, 7-1, as we know. Where's his B plan? The tactics, it seems to me, it comes from the crowd can see it. So how can the manager not see it? And we understand the gulf in the financial. Celtic tumbled out. We've tumbled out. here's the fairy tale story. We're still in with a chance. I think Mark said that at the beginning of the show. We're still actually in with a chance. And we are Europa League. We're never Champions League. So my main point is, where does the madness stop for Scottish football to be invested in? Gio has no money. We know that. Where is that money? We need that back into the team.
Well, Graham's on about, you know, formations and stuff like that. Gordon, did Rangers get that side of it wrong? Look, they must have got a bit of everything wrong for the result to be as huge as it was. But what jumped out for you?
I think the first goal from Liverpool set the tempo for me. You can talk about budgets, you can talk about wages, you can talk about anything, but that is disgraceful for me and at top level football. Sakala, I have no idea what he's doing, and Tavernier, the captain of Rangers, gets pushed aside like he shouldn't even be on the pitch. That set the tempo of the game for me. I think half time Liverpool looked at that and thought, do you know what, if we up the game here, if we move the ball a bit quicker, I don't think there's anything that Van Bronckhorst really could have done. I don't think he had the personnel to do it. Yeah, you can always say once you go behind, right, let's change, go to a 3-5-2, let's go different, let's, you know, take the wingers out and put midfield players in, get into out. There's a million things you can do. They fell apart, Gordon. I looked at a lot of the players last night. I'll go back to him again. Ryan Kent, to me, offers absolutely nothing the Rangers jersey just now. I really don't know why he gets a game for 2 minutes, because that's all he does. He shows 2 minutes at the beginning, promising, you think, oh, and Hugh makes a great point. Everybody says he's got it in his locker. Well, open your locker, but he was not the only one. I just thought Liverpool, up to pace of the game, their movement was too good, and they absolutely buried Rangers.
Hearts are 2-0 down now. It was a free kick. Fiorentina stuck it beyond Craig Gordon, and it looks like it could be a long night for the Jambos as well. Great sliding tackle on the recovery there from, was it Cammy Devlin, I think, racing back. Look, Mark, we cannot get away from the budgets thing. Of course, it's true. I don't know. I'm close for Humphreys for Hearts on the attack. 7, 8, 9 times Rangers turnover. Liverpool have probably got a galaxy of stars. Look at who they bring off the bench. So no one's doubting any of that. And I don't think anyone's standing here tonight and saying Rangers are a disgrace because they didn't win the game. It's just the scoreline, it's the manner of it, it's the gulf, it's the capitulation. That's the bit. If we want to now, because if that's the case, at 6:10 we'd be as well saying, oh well, Rangers can't compete at that level, nothing you can do, shrug the shoulders, see you later, we'll be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah. There's obviously more to it, there has to be.
Well, that's a challenge for us. I said there about Hearts. We find ourselves, our Scottish teams, in these competitions. If that was the case, we know before we even kick a ball in the Champions League or the Europa League, right to UEFA and say, by the way, we don't get the same money as these teams. We don't want to compete. Well, we're in there. We're in there to compete. Now, the challenge for the managers of these top teams, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts tonight, is to find a way of competing, coming up with a game plan that's realistic, but a game plan that hopefully gets you something out of it. Now, Van Bronckhorst's tactics last night, were they wrong? Well, for 45 minutes, by the way, I must say, I thought Liverpool were poor, really poor for the first 45 minutes. But credit to Rangers, because the goal Rangers scored was terrific. But after half time, I think you could quite clearly see after about a minute, 2 minutes, that Liverpool were a different side after the 45 minutes. I think Daz makes a great point about the goal. If you're one up, and all you have to do is defend a set piece, as simple as that, then you've got to do it. You've got to do the ugly side of it. But then you could quickly see a change in Liverpool, and you could see the goal coming. But you're right, Gordon, the capitulation of the players on the pitch. Do you level that at the manager? Well, he could have changed the system, he could have whatever, but the players themselves have to take huge responsibility.
I mean, Graham, you hear all sorts last night about the manager and, you know, where it goes from here. How upset are you, if that makes sense? I mean, do you just have to put this down to the golf, put it down to a bad night? Does Giovanni Van Bronckhorst have serious questions to answer? How far are you going in your criticism?
About everything that you just touched base on there, Mark. I'm a grown man, but I'm inconsolable because I love my team and I've followed them for nearly 30 years up and down the country, abroad. So I've always probably the first time I shed a tear in my whole life. Quite sad as it may sound. Gio, I agree with what Mark and Gordon said. That Sakala and Tavernier thing, that just for me, I saw the golf. I think Hedge went down too early. Personnel, second half, most certainly didn't up their ante. Tavernier, he's a great player. He's not captain, Gordon. In my opinion, he's not. He doesn't. You don't see him shouting. You maybe see him moving his hands, shrugging his shoulders. I could go through the whole team. We don't have a box-to-box player. I think the substitutes are poor. I think they were too late in the game. Personnel, Ryan Kent, Gordon, DL, spot on. Absolutely spot on. You make me laugh on this programme. You're absolutely serious with that one. That is just... If he doesn't want to play for that jersey, just go. Get your agent to push him out. And the change in personnel, Gordon, Gio needs to take that right in the chin. 7-1 at home. Half the stadium was going at 4-1. This is going to take some turnaround, and I hope it happens. I genuinely, genuinely do, because as Mark quickly pointed out early on, we're still in mere chance in Europe. So I don't know what you guys think of that, but I'm hoping, I'm praying I can get a trip away in Christmas.
Well, it's all going to come down to that Ajax game potentially. In fact, it need to be a bit more than that because Rangers lost heavily over there. Thank you to Graham. Talks about being inconsolable. It's that level of frustration, anger, sadness from last night. What about Stephen and Cope Bridge? Have you calmed down any since last night, Stephen, or is it worse the next day?
It's worse. I think it's embarrassing last night, the way we get beat. I was there with my wee boy. It was his first Champions League game. He's been to numerous Europa games, but I was expecting a decent game. Liverpool have been playing well. I'm thinking when we score first, yes, we're all over, we're bouncing about, we're going wild. You think you're in cloud nine when that goal goes in. You think we're in mere shout here. Kent, what is the guy doing? He's just no kicked a ball. He's no doing anything this season to lighten up what he can usually do. He's giving the fans so much to shout about in the wrong ways. He's not performed once this season. He's done nothing for the team at all, and I don't know where to go for it. Honestly, it was a very poor performance. The only plus thing, I think last night, I thought Ben Davies looked no bad. Actually did. McGregor, it's probably his worst performance as a Rangers player. It's probably the biggest pounding he's took since his honeymoon. Honestly, it was just a very, very poor performance.
Come on, Stephen. Why are you doing that to me on a family show? Oh, man.
I'm just falling off.
You could save it until 8 o'clock at least. It's 20 past 6, my goodness. Right, apologies for anyone who did not like Stephen's analogy. And you two are the worst audience for that. No, seriously. My apologies for anyone who does not like Stephen's analogy.
To Stephen.
Here's what I'm wondering. There's clearly more to this than last night, right? If you lose 7-1 in the Champions League, it's hardly going to be all Ryan Kent's fault, is it? Yeah. But when you get a result like last night, possibly brings all of the other previous criticisms to the fore. You know, if Ryan Kent had been having an irresistible season, and if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst hadn't put a foot wrong, and last night happens, it becomes not easy, but easier to digest and say, well, yeah, there's a gulf, and okay, we've still got this and this to fall back on. Stephen and his fellow fans obviously feel annoyed at Ryan Kent in the lead up to last night, and then that adds to it.
Yeah, I look, we're not just picking on Ryan Kent. Of course we're not. And sometimes it's a compliment if you give a player a bit of criticism because he's not producing, because you think that he certainly can, he's got that ability to do it. I thought there was more in Ryan Kent as Hearts, they're taking a pound in 3-0. I thought, oh dear. Yeah, Andy Halliday will be good. I thought...
is there a race on to avoid seven? Is that what it becomes now?
I thought there was more in Kent. I look at Tavernier, for instance. I'm a Tavernier fan. I've stuck up for him, but... Last night, first goal, you get that goal against Liverpool, Ibrox is absolutely bounce, and Stephen and Graham will tell you, there is bouncing, the hope, the belief is there, and it's a brilliant goal, so give them credit for that. Arfield, terrific. But you're against Liverpool, make sure you, if they're going to score goals against you, let them work for it, let them do something brilliant. They've got it in their locker. Of course, it's the easiest goal I've ever seen in my life. Why Sakala's there and why Tavernier? But you go into Kent, you look at the full Rangers team. I'll tell you another one that's, they're living on his reputation now. It's Lindstrom. He's running about there, he's throwing an odd tackle in here or there. He's contributing nothing for me.
See, on the first goal then, Mark, the, I don't like to always just go straight back to these easy ones about Tavernier not being a captain. It just always comes up when Rangers do something bad, and it doesn't get mentioned when they do something good. But firstly, the strength element of it, you know, is he beaten too easy by Firmino? But also, see if Sakala is going to make a mess of his position or whatever at the front post. Is the guy you want behind you not the captain who says, Get back here, grabs him if he needs to, stand on Firmino's toes? Yeah. You know, the guys, Marvin obviously is a passionate organiser of defences, and talking about last night, like genuinely any level of football for Sakala to sort of do whatever it was he was doing in front of Tavernier was bizarre.
I agree with you, 100%. Tavernier's the man you want behind him. The one that, telling him where to go, telling him to get side on so he can actually see the ball and the mat. Look, it is as basic as it comes. You know, there'll be amateur teams, young kids teams out there that their coaches are telling them how to defend that front post area. So we all know it. But look, I would even criticise Tavernier. When that ball goes over Sakala, which it should never get there, how can you be so weak in your position? It's almost like laziness, that he's not got the right position, he's not got his arm across Firmino, and Firmino just stands. Now that is unforgivable. When you're at this level in the Champions League and you find yourself ahead, that you allow them back into the game like that. So that's where your golfing money and your golfing class is redundant, because that
anybody should be able to
do that. Anybody. Take any division in Scotland. You get a couple of big centre halves or a big right back, you'd be able to do that no bother. They head that away, it's no problem. And you perhaps go in 1-0 up and the game looks completely different. So I can see the frustration
quickly with absolutely no reference to what he does or doesn't do on his honeymoon. Could Alan McGregor have done better last night?
Yeah, I think Alan McGregor sets high standards, Gordon, and I think he'll look back today and think, there's, don't get me wrong, there's a couple good finishes, good move, passing movement. You've got to ask for your defenders to do better. But I think the quality McGregor's got, I think there's one or two he'll be disappointed with, and he will not be happy at losing seven.
Stephen, you rascal. We've not completely fallen out, but we'll leave it there. 01419511025. Keep them coming, Rangers fans. How do you feel about last night? We'll speak to you and we'll hear the manager's explanation next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's getting worse for Hearts. 39 minutes gone and it's Fiorentina 4, Hearts 0. What a week, Gordon Dalziel. What is happening?
Oh, I don't know. And I'll tell you what, by the looks of the pictures that we're watching, he ain't going to finish 4th. This could go to the 7-8. The way they're just backs to the wall. The home team, Fiorentina, are just attack after attack after attack, and they're starting to punish them. This could be a long, long evening for the lads from Tynecastle.
Yeah, not looking great, and that would be an understatement. We'll keep an eye on it. So Fiorentina 4, Hearts 0. Are you just trying to get in at half time with 4, Mark? Is that the priority?
100%. You're not even thinking about scoring. You're just thinking, do not concede. Get everybody behind the ball. But it is embarrassing. It's an embarrassing week for Scottish football, and I don't see that often enough.
Let's hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. How do you feel about his part in last night, Rangers fans, and this explanation?
still processing the game, especially the second half. As you said, we started the game really well. First half played really well. We knew the strength of Liverpool, of course, with their pressing, and we played well over their press with balls behind their defense, playing from the second ball, and continue our attack from those moments. I think we scored a goal also in a great moment. We knew that if you play short passes after short passes, they will press you, and when you lose, they will be very dangerous. Well, I think that was the first moment we did that, conceded the corner kick and got the goal against. Instead of playing the ball and play for the second ball, we played too short too many times. I think they have four moments, transition moments, where we lost the ball and they punished us really quick with the attack they have. For me, in the last 25 minutes, we were not in the game. You know, not with our heads, not with the decisions we make. And you know, against a team like Liverpool, putting, you know, three players up in those moments with Thiago, Jota and Salah, and you're not in the game, you get punished. And we had that the second half. You know, this first half and the last half an hour was night and day. I cannot explain. I said before, I have to process this. I cannot explain at the moment.
How do you feel about the manager, Stephen, in Cumbernauld?
I think he's got to go. Gio's got to go. You can't suffer Scotland's worst ever European defeat and expect to keep your job. It's getting to the point where you've got to question the managerial decisions. It can't just be the players. The players take the instructions from the managers, from the coach. They implement those instructions. He has to be at least partly responsible for the dire situation we find ourselves in. I just can't see him keeping his job. He's got to go for me.
How much of that assessment is about last night? How much is previous issues?
If you think about it, he's made a few mistakes. Keeping John McLaughlin in goal for as long as he did springs to mind. The 4-0 loss to Celtic also comes to mind. His away record is quite bad as well. This is just the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I was always willing to give him another chance and go, no, he'll come good. He'll do something. I can tell that he's trying to implement something. It's just no working. You can tell that the people knowing the far post is a thing you see in stat reports. And I think that's where he's got that faith. I think that's something that he's telling him today, not to guard that far post.
So you've listed off the sort of misdemeanours in your mind, Celtic and last night and away games and so on. Does the getting to the Europa League final, the being 2 points behind Celtic in the league, I take it that's not enough for you, that's not enough to make up for the other stuff? And if not, why not?
Well, if you think about it, that was Celtic's mistake. That wasn't our victory. The Europa League final, that wasn't Giovanni's team for me. That was Steven Gerrard's team, minus a few wee tweaks here and there. He did make a few wee tactical changes that helped us get along the way. He's just burnt out my patience now. It's just at the point where I can't see where it's gone. And there's an old adage, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Something seriously wrong in the managerial and other higher up levels at Rangers, and it needs to change now where we still have a chance.
Well, I think Stephen's been reading your philosophy book of quotes. Just a small point on the league table. I think that's unfair on Rangers. Every team is where they are in the league because they deserve it. You know, other teams' results obviously play a part, but if Rangers didn't have an appropriate number of points, then they wouldn't be 2 points behind Celtic, regardless of what Celtic had done. However, that's probably a minuscule part of the discussion tonight, Gordon. How much of the fall does Giovanni van Bronckhorst need to take? Now, massive. Last night, we stayed on 10 till 11. Mm-hmm. Don't know if some people didn't hear it. Pretty much every call we got, not them all, but nearly everyone, was Gio out along those lines. Is that just a knee-jerk reaction? Is that just the emotion? Is that unfair? Do you understand a bit of it?
No, I totally understand it. The buck stops at the manager. To a certain extent, yeah, because I look at Rangers just now and, look, nobody will be hurting more than the manager, let me tell you. And nobody. He wouldn't have had one wink of sleep. He would have been up all night, probably trying to analyse it, trying to figure out, sitting there, wondering what's going on. But that will not wash with the Rangers supporters. The thing that I'm getting just now with Rangers, and you can look at their league situation, 2 points, okay, they're still very much, they've still got a chance to the Europa League as well. But if you look at overall, I'm surprised the way he's going about his business. Sakala disappeared. Thought he's not going to be used. All of a sudden, boom, back in for Liverpool. Kent has not kicked a ball. Kamara, who was one of the best midfield players going about, has not been seen. Roof, obviously, with injury. Centre-backs, Davis and people that... Yilmaz. Everybody has a go at Barisic. Can't get near it. Can't get near it at all. Paid top dollar for him as well. Probably paying decent wages. People will argue, oh, it's a project. He's on a 5-year deal. I don't buy into all that. He plays relate for me at times. There's not a settled structure of what he's trying to do. Matondo's another one. All of a sudden, Matondo becomes a big player and then he becomes a nothing player. And I look at...
Malik Tillman.
Yeah, there's an outro, exactly.
The rotation of Morelos and Colak.
I think he's at the stage where he must be wondering himself, and I will give him a bit of slack, and nowhere I'll give him slack, Gordon, because, yes, the manager takes all the blame. But see last night, and we get back to that first goal for Liverpool that gives him that massive lift, because Liverpool must have been thinking, we can't afford, especially after the way the league campaign's going, they've got Man City at weekend, we can't really afford a defeat up here tonight. You cannot legislate. There's no way anybody's telling me that the manager says to Sakala, you stand in that position, and Tavernier, you're our captain, just you stand there and let Firmino head the ball back in the back.
I think the argument would be he picks Sakala to play or...
But it also gives them responsibilities to do in the pitch, which are not carrying out. And that's where the first goal came from. But the manager seems to play relate with his team. See in 2 weeks' time, we'll have someone else that will go, he's so important to be playing in the team. He'll play two or three games, boom, he'll be out the picture. Sakala was one. Matondo's been one. Tillman's been one. All found wanting. And then all of a sudden they have a cameo moment, they come off the bench, they give that 20-25 minutes. Oh, hold on a minute, he's in the next game, the big part of it. There's no picture to what he's doing for me there now, and I don't know whether he's a bit disappointed with the form of the players, or what it is, or following instructions. I don't know, but I've got to say, I feel sorry for any manager, especially with the crowd that was in there last night, the atmosphere, they go 1-0 up, and Mark and I have been at the lower level. I was stood in a Scottish Cup semi-final and watched my team getting beat 7 against Rangers, and let me tell you, even at that level, it's the hardest thing in the world to take.
So what do you think, Stephen?
It's no washing with me anywhere. It's just, if he's to give the players instructions, right, if players take on those instructions from him, it's a few times that I've seen it that they've let things come in near the near post and the far post. So it becomes a pattern, and if there's a pattern, it must be part of a plan. It's getting to schoolboy errors at this point.
Yeah, Mark, Rangers' set-piece defending has been a theme that's run through their European campaign this season. But it just seems it seems very nitpicky to talk specifically just about set pieces in a night that you lose 7-1 and like everything's blown up. But you know, the small details add up to the big picture, I suppose.
It certainly does. And I think set pieces are a huge part of the game. And I think defenders willing to put their bodies on the line for you in the box defensively tells you something about the overall setup and picture at a place. I really do. And Rangers at set pieces this year, there seems to be an acceptance, a bit of a laziness to track runners, to follow your man, to get in front of people, that wasn't there before. Wasn't there with Steven Gerrard. You couldn't see it. They were solid, they were dependable, reliable. I think that's a worry, that's a concern, when you start to see players switch off and think, you know, they're not willing to give their all to match a man. Because you can't say anything other than that. It's not clever movement for people. It's not like, wow, they've come up with some amazing set piece that's undone us there. If you analyse some of these goals that Rangers have lost at set pieces, it's people not willing to go. And that maybe stems back to the manager. I think Van Bronckhorst just now surviving off the Europa League final. And with Stephen, he's presided over some alarming results, some big games that the fans go along and expect. And you maybe take getting beat 1 and 2, maybe even 3, but when it's 4 against Celtic and 3 against Celtic at Celtic Park and 7, then questions are going to be asked.
Right, thank you to Stephen. What about Alan? How do you sum up your feelings, Alan?
Well, thanks for having me on the panel. Good evening to you all. Last night, I was I go all the home games. I have been for years and years now. We're outplayed, outclassed, outwitted. It was an embarrassing humiliation. There's no excuse for the hammering we got last night. We, the fans, we pay very, very good money, and that was our reward we got. Not good enough for the players and the management as well. We need to take a good look at themselves and get themselves sorted out immediately. We deserve better. The fact that Kent has been, he's been unknown this season. He needs to be benched completely. Gio was fit to drop him, although he did it on Saturday there. You know, things to be, I might have a laugh at this, but see if Mo Salah scored a hat-trick in that 6 minutes, what would he have done in 90 minutes last night to us? That's quite frightening there.
Yeah, the big moments, Gordon. The game was won already because Liverpool were about to make that change. Then they scored, then they make the change anyway. Salah comes on, scores a hat-trick in 6 minutes. He was absolutely devastating for a guy that's apparently out of form. How much weight do you give to this point about the gulf, right? Because you can always look to do more, but it obviously can't be ignored. Bring on Mo Salah, bring on Thiago, bring on Andy Robertson, Scotland captain. Like, well, you got to give that a bit of attention, surely.
Yeah, look, I'll always go back to it. If Rangers were sitting in the English Premier League just now and they were playing these teams week in, week out, I can totally understand that. But they've went against some of the big hitters last year, Gordon, and nobody talked about the golfing money. They went up against Dortmund, for instance, right? They've got bags and piles of money.
I mean, they're not as good as, they're not in that same tier as Liverpool, are they?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll bet you every Rangers fan going along there last night thought this is the best time ever to get Liverpool. Because you look at Liverpool coming off defeat, you look where they're sitting in the league. Klopp was coming under a lot of pressure down in England from the English press and Liverpool supporters. They had what you call their so-called, some of their big hitters missing last night as well. And you're thinking, right, okay, we could fancy this tonight. Second half, the golf and class of player movement. And it wasn't like Salah come on there and didn't really run by people like Lionel Messi does and puts the ball. His movement, touch and finishing was just,
I think, for
sublime.
You Mark, you though, you've been part of teams that have played European superpowers and done all right. So how come it can be done previously and now it's not? Now I get that just because it's been done once or twice doesn't mean you can then replicate that. But I don't know, one that springs to mind, when Man United came to Celtic Park, you played, didn't you? Yeah. Won all. Yeah. I mean, they had Ronaldo and Tevez and Wayne Rooney came off the bench, if we're talking about people coming off the bench. Nobody's saying that Rangers should have the same chance of winning the Champions League as Liverpool. Of course not. Can they even beat them again? Probably not. But is it? It's just the golf, isn't it? It's just the manner of the defeat that's sticking in people's throat.
It was in the moments and the goals that were scored. I think that's what sticks in the throats of Rangers fans as well. When you watch it, I was sitting there watching that last night, thinking I've never seen goals scored so easy. Now, like Daz was pointing out there, if Salah had ran past a couple and was blistering, you go wow. Then you go, you hold your hands up. The golf, this guy's one of the best players in the world. It's hard to stop him. But when I seen passes getting played through at ease, you know, Firmino doing tricks to set up people in the Rangers' back line, you know, so disjointed, then you need to start asking questions at either the players, the manager, or both. Because you're right, I've been there, I've done it. There was a cause, we were all together, we knew our instructions, we stayed compact. We never ever thought we were as good as Man United, but we'd done a job. It was ugly, but we rolled up our sleeves. Last night, when that second goal went in for Liverpool, it looked like the Rangers players just went, oh, we want half here. We want nothing to do with us. And that's alarming.
Thank you, Alan. Take more of your calls next. Keep them coming. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. The good news is that Hearts got to half time, keeping it at 4. Mark Wilson, the bad news is they are 4-0 down, and it still could get a whole lot worse.
Going
in that first 45, I mean, all one way traffic. This Fiorentina team not started the league that well, but they look
Hearts had a glimpse of the hit the post. Humphreys
had a good chance.
Yeah, hit the post. But I tell you, senior sent in that dressing room, you're thinking, we storm, rain, get this game off.
Win the second back. Half.
Win the lose the second half.
The worst shout of all time, isn't it? Let's bring in William, who's a Rangers fan. Sum up how you feel after last night.
I'm kind of. Daz could have done my nut in there.
Still like
Giovanni will be hurting like nobody else here. No, I've been up all night. I couldn't sleep, and I'm totally disgusted with Rangers, for the directors, right down to the players. Barisic, Tavernier, you can't have him in a team. They started waiting, the attacking player coming to them. I was always told, go to the attacking player. No, I'm disgusted with Angel Soma.
You can tell.
Sorry, William.
But Barisic particularly was getting a bit of stick off the pundits in here last night, the way sort of backing off Mo Salah or letting Salah go on his left foot. It is a criticism we sometimes get about Borna Barisic on here. I'm thinking Celtic games in particular.
Yeah, I've highlighted it a few times, and I highlighted it before the game at Anfield. And I thought that's why Van Bronckhorst would have went with a five, to have somebody inside Barisic to help him out. And you know what, it worked to a certain extent, not completely, but it did limit the amount of times Salah ran at him and got inside him and got any joy. Well, last night when Salah came on, I mean, he just walked past him, you know, so many times. It was so easy. It's a big flaw in his game, and for a fullback, he's brilliant. His delivery is brilliant, first class in the final third. But defensively, I've always had my reservations about Barisic. And if I was a winger with any pace at any team in this league, if I got the ball, I would run at him every chance I got.
I can't disagree that he's a better forward player than he is a defender. And he must have been looking over and thinking, oh no, they're bringing on Salah. I'm having a bad enough night. And he's a quality player. And I look at Rangers, the full team. I thought Arfield's goal was brilliant. I really did. I thought early doors Arfield was getting, and I know people say, oh, you're a big Arfield fan. I am. And I proved last night, I thought he was getting any good positions, especially first half. Second half, we never seen them. But I thought Rangers as a team were terrible. I really did. I thought, you know, organisation, everything. I thought the corner kick, the loss, was amateur FC for me. And you can have a go at the manager, but you're not telling me manager tells they two that's what you have to do, a corner kick. Absolute nonsense. He's given them responsibility. They've not accepted that. So sometimes the players have got to take, you know, a bit of criticism. And William, just to let you know, I went
No,
back.
William's away.
Is he?
He's away to catch up on me sleep for last night, honestly. Yeah. I was about to bring him back in, fuming. And he's gone.
See, just on Barisic as well, see, he's a fullback looking at him. See, when you look at fullbacks, you can quite often see what's their strongest side. So a right back, that might not be their right side's always the strongest. They'll show people inside and they're strong in the tackle that way, or they might fancy themselves in terms of pace. I'll show you down the line and I'll get my body across. I don't see any of that with Barisic. I think he actually hopes the winger doesn't get it. And I think sometimes in this league that wingers, because they're against Rangers and, you know, the things are maybe condensed a bit, he gets away with it. But look at him against Humphreys. Remember in the first half at Tynecastle? I mean, every time he got it, Humphreys was having a field day. Outside him, inside him. And Rangers went on and won that game with ease. But when you go up the levels, you do not get away with that. And last night just showed that, it proved it. Even on the ball, I thought last night, he went back so many times when he could have went forward. No, not his night. And if Yilmaz can't get a game now, Daz has mentioned that again, then what's that say about Yilmaz?
David's on the line in Barhead. How do you feel about last night, David?
again, I think agreeing with the panel there, the team need to take a vast share of the blame. They were woeful. They gave up. They just put the white flag up and surrendered to Liverpool. But I think overall, Scottish football needs to take off the rose-tinted glasses. We are of limited budget. We are of limited skills, and we've been shown that we can't step up properly. We don't. I mean, there's at one point you brought on Salah, Robertson, and Thiago. You're talking about bringing on what £200 million worth of talent. And I mean, we go on about we sold Bassi for £22 million. Yeah, yeah, that's a big celebration. Ajax are selling players for £70 million. We just can't live with. We had a great run last year. It's brilliant. It was, but these things won't happen. We need to realise we are a mediocre country who have mediocre players who on their day can play well. Mm-hmm. But we were playing a team last night who on their game are one of the best teams in Europe, and they've proved it over the last few years, and we get shown up.
Yeah, I mean, David, see the thing, I'm not sure anyone would argue about that. I hope there isn't anyone out there that thinks we should go and be, you know, beating Liverpool. Is it not just the manner of it, the capitulation? You go through, there aren't many clubs in the Champions League, you're right, that we have the same finances as, but it doesn't always have to transpire into, you know, a 7-1 defeat at home. Liverpool are one of the best teams in Europe, and they have been for the last few seasons, but go through their Champions League runs from all of those seasons. Last season when they went to Midtjylland, they drew one each. Rangers are better than Midtjylland. The season before that, when Salzburg, who yes have a bit of money, came to Anfield, it was 4-3. The season before that, when Liverpool went to Red Star, they lost 2-0. The season before that, when they went to Spartak Moscow, they drew 1-1. So no one's saying Rangers should compete over the course of the Champions League with Liverpool, but can you do more than a 7-1 defeat? I think that's what people are asking. Is that not fair?
Yeah, I would agree. I would think these players, I mean, Giovanni can only do so much to instill, to get them, to give them the oomph, to get them playing. But if they go on that park and give up, you can't blame Gio for them playing like children. I mean, it was like a group of kids out on a Saturday afternoon who don't have a formation, they don't have skills, they don't have talent. They just put the white flag up and gave up and put their head in the ground and said, just do what you want, guys.
Gordon, by the way, I accept there will be other times when Liverpool have dished out heavy defeats. I know that, so I'm not being selective, trying to be sneaky about it. It's just more about, we need to be careful we don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's impossible because of the budget, yeah, to at least lay a glove or at least give a good account of yourselves. Rangers are better. I still believe that. We can say that we're a rubbish country and whatever. I'll never be scared to try and talk up the game without wearing the rose-tinted specs that David says. Rangers and Celtic, I think, are better or similar to some of the teams that don't get humiliated like that. Do we need a bit more Champions League experience at this stage? Is, you know, if we talk about Celtic first season, same would apply to Rangers in a while. Is that what it is? Or
I thought some of the play, some of the goals last night had nothing to do with money. I don't think that there's a few goals Liverpool didn't even have to work for. You talk about the first one. That's amateur FC. Now
he likes that phrase. He's used that twice.
I'll tell you the now, Gordon.
Are they looking for a manager? You get your CV in.
You can't be Van Bronckhorst and get to the Europa League final and take all the plaudits about tactically, and you've switched things about, and the players you've played, yeah, and pats in the back, and you've played some of the big hitters, decent teams, and then get battered 7-1, and Liverpool didn't really need work for it. They just cruised by Rangers. And to be fair, I looked at the manager when he was in the dugout, and to me, he looked like he'd ran out of ideas.
The manager sets the tone, right, for the full place, the full building. See, after match day one, when Van Bronckhorst quite rightly got criticised for saying we can't compete at this level. Mm. See, last night when it went to 2-1 and 3-1, it looks like the players actually thought that. You know, that manager, we can't compete. We already know we can't compete at this level. And that malaise just sets through your full side. So the criticism of the players, yeah, warranted. But I think that's why Van Bronckhorst is getting deserved stick, because when you come out and publicly say that, and then you take another beating 7 at home, then I think your players, a part of you, start to believe that.
Listen, the comeback is on. Forget all that. Fiorentina 4, Hearts 1. The Jambos have scored in Florence. Stephen Humphreys with the goal, and a good goal it was too.
Great goal.
Let's see. They're on the defending again at the moment. But 4-1 as things stand. Thank you to David. It takes us up to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, it was ugly last night. A 2-0 win for Marvin Bartley.
Marv winning, is he?
I think it was like 0-0 after the first three or four questions. It was rough. So let's see if we can get a more entertaining Beat the Pundit matchup tonight. Call us before 7 o'clock on 01419511025 and you could be playing next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Gordon's preparation for the show was unconventional, to say the least, today. I'm going to ask him a bit more about it. I want to know how he's feeling, but we better crack on with this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Still 4-1, Fiorentina. Hearts doing better, obviously, but 4-1 down, so not an ideal position to be in. Kevin's in East Kilbride. How's it going, Kevin?
Very good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No, never.
Good, so getting a lot of first-time contestants this week. I like it. Would you, are these two of a similar level in your mind, Kevin? Who would you rather face?
Oh, I'd rather face Mark, just because I've seen him score that fantastic goal against Rangers.
Thanks, Kev. Must have been,
thank you, Kev.
I don't recall any of them being fantastic, I must admit.
In Kev's mind, it is.
I might be talking about my Dunbarton one against
Rangers.
Well,
that's Rangers. True. That was fantastic, actually. I was there. That was a good strike from you. Well done.
Thanks.
What's your form like? Did you not lose that?
By the way, I'm going through a sticky stage.
How are you, generally speaking, after Tuesday?
Oh, Frank,
calmed down.
Because remember, Frank came on.
Destroyed him.
He was very angry. He wouldn't even take your jokes. I was trying to soften him up. Wasn't happening. Beat the Pundit.
Not heard from Frank, though, recently. So get Frank back on. We can have a further chat.
Do you know how bad it was at the end of the show? We're going home.
Stormed out, I noticed that.
No, I drove right up beside him at the lights and he stared me out.
I was behind you. I was wondering if you two were going to drag race along Dunbarton Road at 11 o'clock at night.
I was a bit frightened.
That's my people.
What are you talking about with your wee
ladder? The cash guy can shift. Don't doubt it.
When it needs to abate.
He's got a borrowed Merc and he thinks he's got candy.
Anyway, heads, it is Mark Wilson. Have you not seen him tonight? He's in the AR26 mobile.
I know.
Don't you be racing in that.
I came straight from Perth.
Not to 60 in an hour.
Heads is Mark Wilson, tails is Gordon Dalziel. And it's tails. It's huge. You bet. After giving him
right, Kev, come on.
You better not blow this tonight, Gordon. I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that you can't hear what's going on. And we'll get the clock ready, Kevin. Pretty straightforward. No real rules here. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. Okay.
No worries.
Let's go. Who scored Rangers' opening goal last night?
Scott Arfield.
Which club did Celtic get Joe Hart from?
Tottenham.
Which club side did Eamon Brophy play for when he made his only Scotland appearance?
Hibs.
Which team are currently bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Arbroath.
Who's older, Dyson Maeda or Georgios Giakoumakis?
Giakoumakis.
Which Scottish Premiership club did Stephen Thompson start his career with?
Dundee.
Let's bring back Gordon Dalziel. Hear us?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, look, he's got the new technique on again. Don't know if you've heard this, Kevin. I don't know if this is enough to strike fear into you, but apparently he has started clasping his hands in like a prayer formation when he plays Beat the Pundit, and it's
undefeated.
He's undefeated since. So I hope you're all right. You okay with that?
I'm coping.
Don't want to intimidate you too much.
Okay, Kev.
30 seconds on the clock. Ready?
Yeah.
Who scored Rangers' opening goal last night?
Anfield.
Which club did Celtic get Joe Hart from?
Tottenham.
Which club side did Eamon Brophy play for when he made his only Scotland appearance? Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Hamilton.
Which player is older, Dyson Maeda or Georgios Giakoumakis?
Giakoumakis.
Which Scottish Premiership club did Stephen Thompson start his career with?
St Mirren.
Name either Italian side Joe Jordan played for.
AC Milan.
Okay. What do you think, Kevin?
Aye, got me.
Boom. Oh. See you later, Kevin. Well, at the end of the road. Boom.
Scott Arfield is the answer. Hold on. Hold on.
Don't you wish your boyfriend was that me?
Don't do that again. That's disgusting.
Was disgusting, wasn't it?
I hope I don't get beat.
Certainly put me off my dinner.
Is that camera on?
I hope I don't get beat.
I don't.
Good to
don't
see
don't
that the hip replacement's working.
Oh, bit of thrust in there.
Scott Arfield, you both got Tottenham Hotspur. You both got Eamon Brophy was at Kilmarnock, I'm afraid, Kevin. Boom, boom, boom. So 3-2 to Gordon DL. Are Brotha bottom of the championship?
Oh, so they are. Did they get
Kevin
it?
Got it.
Well done, Kev. 5-3 defeat.
Dyson Maida or Georgios Giakoumakis? It's Giakoumakis.
Yeah.
You both got it.
Oh, this is a it's good game. This is end to end.
Stephen Thompson started his career.
Chairman. Dundee United.
Dundee United.
Oh!
And here is the sickener.
He got that.
Kevin said Dundee.
Ah, oh, Kevin, I'm hopping
Kevin.
For you.
Kevin, in a Kevin. Home Alone fashion. Kevin.
Do you not know the teams in the city of the discovery?
AC Milan for Joe Jordan, which means it was a 5-4 victory.
Oh, yes.
For Gordon DL.
Do you know something?
Kevin, it was a good effort. Hard lines.
No worries.
Do you know what? I don't take any satisfaction out of that.
I liked Kevin. Sounded like a good guy. He got four.
He was
decent
a good
effort.
See you later, Kev. The old hand together.
Clasping motion. Never fails. Right, thank you, Kevin.
Kev's still
all
in the
best.
He's just got him up.
All right, Kev. Cheers.
I am actually just surprised you were able to clasp your hands together tonight because he suffered an injury today, Mark Wilson.
I don't want to tell you. Should I know?
He's got
anymore.
Third-degree burns on his palms. Because he's had a very strenuous afternoon and too much friction on his palms this afternoon, and he's basically had to get them bandaged up with a bit of ointment. And why? What happened? I hear you ask. Well, don't worry, I'll put you out your misery. Gordon and I took part in a charity zip slide down at the Sky Park, you know, just at the sides of the Clydeside Expressway, sort of Finiston at the hydro area. Now, Tom Cruise, he ain't right. So if you had to see the nick of him, now there's a video actually on Twitter, either on mine at Gordon Duncan 7 or at Clyde SSB on Twitter, and you want to see the state of him in the harness, right? I know that the harness isn't necessarily a fashionable item, but if there's anybody that doesn't suit a harness, it's him, right? I can't explain it. It just doesn't.
Lots of bits hanging out.
And I put the video up, and someone replied, "What a helmet!" Talking about the headwear that he had on. It was white with two straps under the chin. And so he's up there, and you know that he's scared the heights. Hearts are in again. Don't score. You know he's scared the heights. He won't stop talking, and he's never.
Notice that he does. He does go on a bit. See when he's nervous, he goes on.
Right.
Doesn't he?
Now, look, it was good. It was good fun, and we did it for charity. I'm glad we did, but it. He was making too much of a meal out of it. He was terrified. So when he goes off, he is acting like he's not clipped on. He thinks he has to hold the rope that hard to stop him dropping to severe injury to the car park below. So he's gripping the rope for dear life, white knuckles, and he's got friction burns all
my
on his hands.
They're killing me.
And then
I was in the Queen Elizabeth there for half an hour.
Right. He then he arrives at the end.
Oh,
there
this
was,
is brilliant.
There was multiple people doing it. I did it. There was staff from Cash for Kids did it. From one of the sponsors, 101 did it. So when you get to the end, obviously you sort of hit a kind of buffer. It takes the sting out of you, and you drift gently to the other end, and the guy grabs you. Let me ask you this: out of every single person that did it, who do you think was the one person that didn't make it to the other side and got stuck in the middle?
Oh, Boris Johnson.
Exactly like that. You know the one where Boris has got the two flags and she's dangling in the middle? That was him. And see if you can see the harness.
Did you get a video of that?
He was too far away by that point.
Footage of you dangling.
I was embarrassing.
Over Glasgow.
I've got the harness. Embarrassing.
Harness digging into bits that
exactly.
We shouldn't see.
Oh, awful.
I was the nearest thing you'll ever see to Bojo, right? I swear. And I looked up and know the advert or the girls coming to the window with the cans of Coke and all that. Bojo's hanging there with the third degree burns on the hands.
That's ruined your weekend, yeah?
Oh, that's
you'll
it.
Be able to
no
honestly,
golf.
It was quite a sight, but all for a good cause.
Well done, guys. That's good. That's good.
And
good
it was. It was. It was all for a good cause. So
especially you, Gordon. You're a bit of a daredevil, right? But
I was.
He was
doing my head and phoned me before. Are you there already? How high is it? How high does it look? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What do you want me to say? Like, Yeah. It's not. By the way, high, but it's not that high.
I told producer, David Robertson, moving over the expressway over the Clyde and all that. He's going, my God, that was brave.
So when's this? Is this going to be shown?
Well, I mean, the videos are out there on Twitter and stuff at the moment, but he's
$9.99 rent.
He's had a tough day. So well done for rounding off that with a beat the pundit victory.
Cash for kids. I love when they get you. Because it must target, you know, the most terrified pundit out there.
Do you know something? And the two lads below were just looking at me, and I'm thinking, any chance of getting me into the dock here? I was just hanging in
the dock. Is that the technical term?
No, I don't think so. I think he's made that up.
He's made that up.
Well done, Das.
Colin is in Alexandria. Colin, enough about his palm injuries. How did you feel about last night and maybe the bigger picture at Rangers as well?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. Actually, I was expecting it. But my main point is, I'm not going to lambast the manager or the players. That's been said and done. What I would like to point out is, what responsibility has the board of Rangers FC got through their lack of investment? And I just believe that they're getting away scot-free. Fair enough, the manager and the players are getting lambasted, quite rightly, for their performance. But I believe the board must take a lot of responsibility as well. They have brought that manager in, and it's been a hand-to-mouth in the transfer market. It's actually embarrassing, some of the players that they've bought, players that would never, ever, and should never, ever wear the Rangers jumper.
Colin, the one thing, would just to come back on that, people will be quick to point out, I can almost sense them shouting at the radio, that it's going to take investment that Rangers can't even dream of to spend what Liverpool do. And in fact, even trying to bridge the gap financially is probably impossible. Is that fair?
Yes, I mean, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, the Rangers fans are the ones that I feel most sorry for. They pay their half-earned cash, and Rangers FC they're not even a third-rate team. I mean, I defy anybody to tell me that the defence, apart from Alan McGregor, your captain, your left-back, and your two centre-backs, they don't know how to defend.
Right, what about this bigger picture then? If it's not all about last night, Gordon, like you can't compete financially with Liverpool, what sort of spend would Rangers need to put out there to compete? Who knows?
But they've spent money, Gordon. You know, you look at Yilmaz, Davis, people like that. I think that where Colin's getting at is probably, would he be questioning Ross Wilson? Because he's a lad that obviously identifies, brings the players in, takes the pats in the back when everything's going right. So he must have a big influence behind the scenes of the players that are coming to Ibrox, no doubt.
Would you, because two things can be true, Mark. You can acknowledge that, you know, trying to compete financially with Liverpool is not happening. Would you have expected more from a team that reached a European final 150 days ago, forgive me if I'm a couple out, and sold a couple of players for big money? Would you still have expected more in the transfer window? Should there have been more of a statement made? Should there have been more of an attempt to strengthen from a position of relative strength than Rangers showed?
For me, from the outside, looking at it, of course, yes. But I don't know Rangers' finances behind closed doors. I don't know what that European...
No, it's not all about closed doors. That stuff's fairly public. We know what the transfer fee for Bassi and Aribo was. You know what getting to the Europa League final is worth. I think, obviously, Rangers were relying on generosity of board members and so on before that. But, you know, in the lead up to the Europa League final, I think Stuart Robertson had spoke about it being worth as much as a group stage campaign in the Champions League. Patterson, Bassi, Aribo, you know, it doesn't... There's no secret there. You kind of know roughly what's been brought in.
Well, okay, from a footballing point of view, yeah. I said at the start of the season that I thought that this team that Van Bronckhorst had got to the Europa League final was very much kind of Steven Gerrard's side. that was maybe going a bit stale. I said that a couple of weeks in a row, that you need to keep refreshing things if you want to keep moving forward. The manager got funds, like Daz said. He spent it. He then came out before, after the PSV game, before the first Ajax game, and says it was his option. He was happy with his squad. So what is going on behind closed doors? Is the manager saying, I need more, and then coming out and defending the board? Or is the board saying, we've got an extra few million, do you want to spend it? And he's saying, no, the squad's fine. It's a confusing situation. But you can't say he's not been gave money. He's spent.
I'd be more concerned about, for instance,
it's not a huge amount though, is it?
It's not a huge amount, you're right. No. But what is a huge amount saying, nowadays in Scottish football?
Yeah, but you're saying, obviously, you're going to have to spend something when you lose Calvin Bassey and Joe Rebo, right? Yeah. So if we talk about net spend, as often comes into it, that wouldn't have been massive, but if there is one at all over the summer.
Did the board make that available? Maybe. We can only go with what the manager says. The manager says he was happy with his squad. Whether we believe,
it just feels, Gordon, like that we're on the brink of what could be a serious overhaul with the squad. We don't even know how this season pans out. Rangers might even kick on and win the league. Who knows? Alan McGregor's clearly nearly there, without being unfair, because they're probably similar age to me. Scott Arfield and Ryan Jack don't have that long left in that area of the pitch. Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos.
Davis.
Yes, Davis, obviously. Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos' contract coming to an end. Mm-hmm. It feels like very quickly the Rangers team could be blown apart and just have to redo everything.
Yeah, but my big concern just now, looking at his track record, and I know it's, what, two transfer windows. Thought January he brought the big signing in, Aaron Ramsey. You've got the summer there, Matondo still to prove. Yilmaz doesn't get a look in. Tillman, Fraser will back him with the fact that he's not got the experience, but in the big games seem to freeze. So I look at his signings.
They've been unlucky in the sense that Tom Lawrence has been injured, looked good before that.
Yeah, he was a good. He looks.
And then the John Souter one's more complex, because you could say, well, that's unlucky. He should be able to have John Souter, but then other people would say, well, clearly was a risky signing in the first place.
But then guys there that were big favourites of the Rangers fans that were performing very well. Kamara, for instance, I don't know what's happened to him. Ken, I said tonight, and I'm starting to go 100% with you, I'm fed up people saying he's got it in his locker. He shows absolutely nothing for me. I don't even know how he gets a jersey just now. You look at, like, say, Kamara, you look at, like, say, Kent, for instance. Lundstrom, I think's living off the back of his song. I don't think he's offering anything as well. An odd tackle here or there, that doesn't get you, you know, victories and points and results that you need. So there's a lot of work to be done, so for Van Brunt.
Colin, does your criticism of the board and transfers and whatever, does that mean are you still a Gio fan? You don't have any criticism for the manager?
I think his hands have been tied behind the scenes. I do honestly believe it. I mean, I believe he is a good manager. He just, I don't know. Ross Wilson, I believe you said, was the person who suggests Rangers buying players. I think this guy should get the sack. Pure and simple. The guy's not up to the job.
Simple as that, says Colin. Thank you. 01419511025. We'll get a teaser up and running for you two next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hearts have conceded again. Fiorentina 5, Hearts 1. It's a penalty. A much better second half from Hearts, and maybe Fiorentina had taken their foot off the gas. But another goal for the home side. A penalty given away by Alex Cochran, and a very tidy one. Almost a kind of no look. Does a little stutter step, sends Craig Gordon, waits for Craig Gordon to go the wrong way, and then Nicolas Gonzalez tucks it away. So another tough night for Scottish clubs in Europe, unfortunately. We're about to speak to Sam in the south side. Alright. Listen to this guy piping,
staying
up
over,
telling me to do the teaser. I'm about to.
No.
What's happened to your hair during
over
the break?
How was it?
It's a bit dishevelled. Is this because we likened you to Boris Johnson earlier on?
It's a bit of Bojo hairdo.
I conceded similarity. Zip slide, messy hair, many wives. You know,
by the way, I can't believe
the list
it.
Is endless.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you missed the most important one out.
Big nose.
Shut up, you. What are you talking about, fat boy? You know what I mean? A Nike badge is the biggest I've ever seen it.
Right, see if he's calling me fat boy.
26 in capitals.
He was asking for a suit half me the other day.
And he thought it was
him, same size. So
the number.
Do you know what else happened today, right? So
he's still getting the number in his hand.
You know he's been bragging about losing weight recently.
Yeah.
Well, they weigh you before they do. They weigh you before they do the zip slide.
Right.
And it doesn't take much, right? But I managed to crack the code. I don't think I'll be getting a job with the government anytime soon. It doesn't take much, but because I stood in the scales and I know what my weight starts with in kilos.
Yeah.
So they write that number. They don't write the full thing. But if you were just for talking sake, if you were 83 kilos, they put an 8.
Yeah.
Mm. And if you were 71, they would put a 7. Yeah, you see where I'm going? So
six.
I just stayed silent for a bit, and then I just looked at the number on his hand, and he didn't know what that number corresponded
I thought that's
to.
Where you were in the queue.
And so he said, "What's this number
I'm
all about?"
Six.
And I said, "That's the number that
it?
You're well, his starts with 10 for kilos."
No, I did not. Don't listen to him. Shut up, you. Don't listen to him.
No way.
No, what's
anyway,
no way.
Anyway, he was sheepish because he's been bragging a lot about losing weight. You shouldn't have kept your big gilet on when you. I think that was your mistake. You should have shed some layers.
I kept my shoes in. Everything
got
on.
Bricks in that gilet.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, enough about that. Sam's
right,
been
teaser,
waiting for ages.
Teaser.
Quickly on the teaser. Can you name since 2005? 10 Celtic players from an African nation, this will be good, who were capped by their national team whilst at Celtic. Thanks to Stephen McCara for the question. Fulltime@clyde1.com. He sent it to
the lad who went to Hibs. What do you call him?
Ambrose. Ambrose. Ambrose.
Yes,
Ambrose.
Nigeria.
Sorry Gordon, I missed it. How many?
10. Since 2005, 10 players have been capped by an African nation whilst at Celtic.
Toure.
Yep.
No.
Oh,
no.
Was that no wow? He was at Celtic, okay. El Kadiri.
El Kadiri, is that
Kadiri.
His cousin? No.
No?
Nope.
We've only 9 to get.
Bobo Baldi.
Oh.
Yes, well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. Well done. As bad as you usually are at these things. All right. Ambrose, Baldy, Wanyama, we'll try and get the other 7. Let's bring in Sam, who's a Celtic fan in the south side. Sam, how do you feel overall about this week then?
How are we doing, guys? Thanks very much for having me on tonight.
Pleasure.
Just a quick point with regards to the last 2 nights of Champions League football, Celtic and Rangers. I'm a Celtic fan myself, so Tuesday night was quite a disappointing night. Last night less so. Yes, so with regards to both... I was talking to a couple of pals about this, and I don't know whether the panel agrees or not. Looking at the Celtic game on Tuesday night, I thought Celtic started quite slow, allowed Leipzig onto them, kind of a lot of pressure and stuff like that, and then there was about a 15-20 minute window where I thought Celtic were really good, looked like they could have scored a goal or two, maybe even 3 with the way they were playing. Very similar to last night against Liverpool with Rangers. I thought Rangers started the quicker of the two. A lot of pressure on the opposition team, a lot of high pressing and stuff like that. And my point is really like, when we are putting pressure on the two of these teams, Champions League kind of quality teams, we seem to have these spells where we're really good. We've got 3 or 4 men shutting down the ball, playing really well, and we look like we could get a goal. Rangers obviously scored last night, and then Rangers scored last night, and we seem to set off the opposition team. It was just to see the panel's view on things.
Gordon?
Yeah, I thought Tuesday night, I thought Celtic, especially in the first half, Gordon, created a few chances, and especially I think the best one for me was Kyogo. And chances, goals changed games. Unfortunately for Rangers last night, it changed it as well, because people say, well, Arsfield scored the first goal for Rangers.
Who did? Sorry?
Arfield.
I don't think that's what you called him there.
That,
but anyway,
was, that was very close to mm-hmm.
Never mind. Carry on. Just
scored the first goal for Rangers, but then conceded, and that was an important goal. I thought if Celtic got the first goal Tuesday night, I think they were in with a good shout. I think they would have grown confidence. But the class again the second half, the pace of the game, everything about it. Yeah, the manager will be disappointed. He comes in for a bit of criticism about the attacking style. I keep saying I like it. I think it's the way forward. He's not going to change, so there's no point arguing that debate.
Lumping those two this week together seems difficult, Mark, in that Celtic created loads of chances, had a good goal, were well in the game and lost 2-0, and Rangers lost 7-1. And before anyone gets all excited about that, to then restore a bit of that balance, Liverpool are better than Leipzig. They're a good tier above Leipzig. So I know, I get why, because as a Scottish football fans, we're sort of feeling sore overall. But I don't know how you accurately compare this week's games.
I get what you're saying. I guess, I don't know if Sam's making the point. These teams don't crumble maybe when they come under pressure. You know, they come under certain spells. I agree with Sam. I thought, well, Celtic created a chance in the first minute, but then did fall out it. And then about the 20th minute, 25th minute, they had a great period. But Leipzig kept their composure. They kept passing the ball. Whether our teams seem to lose faith now, whether that's down to the week Leipzig come up against opposition,
but then Leipzig's composure wouldn't have counted for as much if Celtic had just scored some fairly simple chances.
It's hard to gauge,
you can see it now because ultimately Celtic didn't, and that's the most important thing. But Leipzig's composure isn't what stops Kyogo scoring a fairly simple header.
No, but if they did, if Kyogo does score, would Leipzig have remained the same? I believe they would have. They wouldn't have. I don't believe they would have crumbled. And the point I'm getting to is the level of opposition they're facing, probably week in, week out, they come under tough spells in games.
Oh, so it's all the wee team's fault in Scotland.
Not at all. But it's just a fact that Celtic and Rangers steamroller teams and very rarely get put under pressure. These teams, you know, all involved their goalie from back to front, even if they are getting beat. And they stick to the process, and you can see it come to fruition when your team's playing them in games.
Know, but Celtic did stick to their process. Now, I know it didn't work right, so you don't get a trophy for that. There's no stick to your process trophy. But if you're going to be specific about your criticisms, I'm not sure about that one for Celtic. If anything, people are saying that's what's wrong with Celtic.
Well, I need to disagree with you in the second
half. I thought
half.
You were the one that said they just keep doing the same thing. It's Ange ball.
I know, but I'm talking about the second half of the game. See, when the second half came about, I think Celtic didn't look like an Ange Postecoglou side. I don't think they kept possession as well as they've done in the past. I think when Leipzig scored, they created a real good chance, but I don't think it was anything like we've seen. Even Madrid, when Madrid go ahead, I don't think Celtic looked the same side. Listen, I might be wrong. There might be people out there saying, "Well, I mean, that's totally wrong. We passed them off the pitch. We kept possession."
Now, maybe it's just semantics, right? Maybe I'm splitting hairs, but I think you can drop out the game and perform worse. Rather, you know, they didn't change what they were doing, though. If that makes sense, they might have been executing it worse, or
well, that's changing.
Or like,
no, they didn't.
Change sounds like something you choose to do, though, or you can impact a bit more.
They didn't change their formation. I'll get that. They didn't change, but the players on the pitch didn't have that belief in change.
Maybe I'm splitting hairs.
Well, there's no doubt about it. In the first half, in that 25 minutes,
chirping twice in 1 week. There was a big guy this week.
But you're saying they didn't change. Yeah. Of course, they didn't change. But the balance of the game changed.
Maybe Leipzig changed.
They scored a goal. It changed. Did Celtic play the way they have done after the goal?
He's waving about. He's so animated this week.
Calm down, sit
down. Sighing and
take a weight off your feet and sit down.
okay, Pocho.
I thought Leipzig at second half deserved to win the game. I've got to say that. But I thought that chances, they were clinical. You know, Celtic created Mark's talking about the opportunity in the first minute or so, Abada in for Maeda. I thought that was difficult. I thought Kyogo was a big moment in the game for Celtic. I think for a player of his stature, he's got to do better there, especially up against good opposition. Celtic kept going at it. I do agree with Mark a little bit in the fact that I thought in the second half they did sort of run out of ideas a little bit. They weren't the same Celtic side. And obviously the substitutions were trying to make an impact with bringing players on the pitch, and it ended up with the Celtic's front three off because you had Abada, Kyogo, and who's the other one?
Maeda.
Maeda, all substituted.
But then Moy and Giakoumakis have two chances late that are as good as anything that came
early. Well, I get back to the clinical statement that I made earlier in the conversation. I feel that they were better.
So what do we do about it, Sam? We're not going to have as much money. Do we just keep sort of rolling over and saying that we can't compete, or are there different things you can do in the game to try and bridge the gap?
Well, part of me agrees with what Mark was saying, and part of me agrees with what Gordon was saying as well. I think there is an element of Celtic's performance that on Tuesday night that does show that you stick to what you do, the way Ange wants to play it, and you'll get your chances. I mean, I can also think of ones that fell to Greg Taylor in the first half, and I'm thinking, shoot, and he cuts it back. And then there was a one in the second half that falls to Aaron Moy in the box as well, and I'm thinking again, shoot, and he cuts it back as well. Looking at the Rangers game last night, there was also one, I think it was a back pass just after the first goal that comes to Colak. And as a Celtic fan, I'm also thinking, just in terms of being a fan of football, take a first touch and then shoot, and he tries to hit it first time and it kind of trundles back to the goalkeeper. I don't know whether it's a composure thing. I know the hardest thing in football is to put the ball in the back of the net, but I don't know whether it's you come up against these teams in Celtic and Rangers or Scottish football in general seem to crumble, or whether or not you need a good few chances to put the ball in the net. I'm not sure what the issue is.
Again, like, just to go back to the difficulties of lumping both together, because Celtic are having a good few chances and then more, Mark. You know, I think we spoke about it last night, and I know that, you know, stats aren't for everyone, but the whole expected goals thing that sort of measures your high quality chances, that formula, depending where you look, reckons Celtic should have about six goals in this group stage, and they've got one goal and obviously an own goal. So you have to start just with chance chances missed, rather than saying that they're not creating enough or that you need more to score.
I know where I'd rather be. I mean, the way Celtic have played this Champions League group stage is baffling to most. Creating chances, we keep going on about it, and it is a cliche. Creating chances and scoring is the hardest thing that you come across in football. And they've got one part, don't you, T? Good chances to create. It's the last part, and Ange Postecoglou summed it up perfectly when he says, asked about it, that's why these teams spend X amount of money to get these guys who can finish at this level.
I suppose the frustration would be, again, the whole point of sort of expected goals, rating the quality of the chance. Some of them aren't hard chances either. And you know that,
and you
that
wonder,
must be frustrating from a managerial perspective, because ultimately this is all well and good this week, but you know, in a couple of years or whatever, or next year, or when you look at, if Celtic finish bottom of the group, 1 point, no one's going to care what the expected goals was. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm just talking about when you're analysing these games specifically.
Yeah, you wonder. You'd like to think that the players get better year after year in this competition. They get less anxious when the chances come.
You think that
is
important then? Because this is the first year in the Champions League for a lot of these players. Matt O'Reilly's been at MK Dons and so on, and then even that, you know, Rangers did well in the Europa League. This is the first season then that you get the prize of the Champions League. As bad as it is, do we require a bit more patience?
Look, I'm not a goal scorer, and you says the other night, Daz, that you never thought about what game you were playing in. I can only say where I played in my first Champions League, I was maybe a bit tentative. Gordon Strachan even slaughtered me when we were playing against AC Milan. He told me at half time and full time that I'd played scared football. I said, what does that mean the next day in training? He said, you were playing passes backwards inside, you weren't going forward. Now,
is there a striking equivalent?
I can't answer that, but I can tell you how I felt. Kyogre, and as the years went on, I got more comfortable and better.
But Kyogre missing the header the other night there is nothing to do with the competition. And it's not scared football. And I can understand what you're saying about playing the ball back inside safe football. That's not, you're there to score goals. And that's an instance. You've got to react to that. That's nothing to do with Champions League football, the header. He's got to do better. For me, and they're passing up chances. If it was last minute,
and you went through and you had a bit of distance to cover to say, am I going to beat the goalkeeper?
Time to think about it. Yeah,
time to think
rather
about
than instinctive.
I can understand.
Abada's one against Real Madrid. That's the only one I can compare, really. Maybe there's others in this Champions League group stages, but that's a glaring one.
Thank you, Sam. How are you two doing on the teaser? 10 Celtic players have been capped by an African nation whilst at the club since 05. Ambrose, Balde, Wanyama.
Was we a one?
No, he is a USA international.
American. Yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Kamara.
Yes. Diamante. Yep, well done.
The fullback, Mohamed Silva. Fullback.
Help him out. He's just rolled it along the line. He's asking you to tap
Mohamed Silva.
I don't
Momo
know.
Silla.
Momo Silla. Yes.
Silva. That's close.
I'm a John Block.
I'd say, you know what? I wouldn't have got that without you saying that. Right, nonsense.
One more. Any more?
No.
Anything else? No.
The other Kamara, Mo Kamara.
I'll give you Henri Kamara.
Henri Kamara. Henri Kamara. Aye.
Yes, Mark. Many's that, Gordon.
Four to get. We'll get them next. Hearts have lost that one in Florence. It is all over. We'll try and look back on some of that and take more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can still call 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. A lot of good Twitter stuff coming in tonight, I must admit. I like this from Phil Bray, who just says, "This show's unbelievable, mate. Absolutely love it. Every time you broadcast, it takes up my night and my kids don't get fed." Kidding. Keep up the good content.
Appreciate that. Kind of be a good thing.
I'm glad the word kidding's in there. Just makes me feel a bit better about things. Thank you for listening though, Phil. And your favourite poet has been on.
Gordon. Oh,
in fact, we'll get to him in a second. Did you see easily my favourite caller last night, Matt? Did you see Matt's call? It's on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and so on, where he came on and he's a very angry, upset Rangers fan. But by the end, he's so angry and so upset that he's like laughing at himself because he knows how angry he is. And he's talking about phoning in sick for work, but he can't because he's on the radio and everybody will know. And he's going to go to his bed and he won't get any sleep. Well, a great update for us. Brendan Lally sent one in saying, "Hi Gordon, just to let you know, Matt did make it to his work today. He took dog's abuse, but Matt's a great guy and faced up for his turn in the barrel." So well done. Well done to Matt.
For me.
And yep, your poetry friend Curious Creatures is on.
Who's that about?
A
me
tribute to your afternoon's charity activity. He says, "Dangling from the zip wire with the harness strapped in tight, his under strain wee dazzlers popping out both left and right." What an image. "And his palms are now in tatters, so his plans have gone astray, and his favourite evening pastime needs to wait another day." How many more have you got to get in the teaser?
Right.
You're looking for four more players who were capped by an African nation whilst at Celtic since 2005. You've got Ambrose, Balde, Wanyama, Kamara with a K, Kamara with a C, and Mo Silla.
Landry Nguemo.
Outstanding.
Yeah, good lad, him. Good player. And on, listen to this one, yeah. That's a Wakato.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he Mubarak Wakaso or Wakaso Mubarak? I don't think we ever found out.
I know. But
I think it was interchangeable.
Yeah.
So many have you got left?
Two. Two to go?
No.
No?
One.
Three.
Three.
What?
Yeah.
There. I need clues.
Oh, maybe not.
Ambrose, Balde, Wanyama, Silva.
Right.
Kamara with a K, Kamara with a C, Nguemo, Wakaso. Aren't there two more to go?
Wait, what's happened to you? What have I forgotten to write down? Okay.
I think we've got two, Daz, but.
Yeah, two to get. Yeah, two to get.
Right. Come on.
I'm under a wee bit of pressure.
You look at
but tired. The zip.
That cheer's under a bit of pressure. The zip with that number on your arm.
Don't listen to him. He just makes things up to make yourself feel good.
Anyway, it's finished in Florence. Fiorentina 5, Hearts 1. People will lump them all together. Bad week for Scottish football, and three different teams, three different opponents, three different venues, three different sets of circumstances. But I get it, Mark, as an overall picture, that is not good reading.
No, and if we're going to take it as a collective final, throw in the week before that as well, because Anfield, Celtic at Leipzig, Hearts at home to Florence, return fixtures, it has been abysmal. You know, different levels of performance, but outcome the same. And must do better, unfortunately.
Again, though, it does fall into that bracket. I think Jovic, who scores Fiorentina's opener, went to Real Madrid for 50 million, and Hearts are Hearts. They've, their goal scorer tonight was Stephen Humphreys, who's on loan from Wigan. But at the same time, Gordon, we have to, you know, need to be consistent. But at some point, that's now what we're looking at. We've set the bar so low this season. At some point, can one of the teams just give somebody a bloody nose? Can they do the unexpected? Can they make life tough for them? That's pretty much all we're now even looking for, sadly.
It fell into the same mould as the rest of them. You know, we looked at Hearts last week, Fiorentina going to Tynecastle, and you're thinking, oh, they're off to a bad start. They're sitting well down the league. They're not the team they used to be. They turn up, they destroy Hearts at Tynecastle, and tonight, totally outclassed. So, Mark's right. It has been a bad week, but it's a learning curve. We need to just put it aside, move on, and look to weekend's domestic football.
And weekend games are massive anyway, Mark, but after a week like this, they just become even bigger. Can you imagine? You've heard the calls tonight, and if you heard them last night, can you imagine Rangers come away from Fir Park with anything less than 3 points on Sunday? Now, granted, that picture would change depending what Celtic do against Hibs on the Saturday, but I mean, it becomes massive.
Yeah, nothing's a given now, and huge games. People will be looking for a reaction from both sides. Hibs are no walkovers at Celtic Park, but Motherwell equally no walkovers at Fir Park. So
not a great record against Rangers at Fir Park.
Not a great record, but is that a good time to play Rangers?
Oh, listen. See when you're a fan of a wee team, you fear the worst. There's that theory that if you need a result,
yous are going
all
right.
Just come to Fir Park and we'll sort it out for you.
Stevie Hamill, have a plan.
So I'm not
That'll
sure.
be interesting anyway, weekend.
Right, two more to get in the teaser. Players who've been capped by an African nation whilst at Celtic since 05. You've got Wakaso, Ambrose, Balde, Wanyama, Kamara, Silla and Guemo.
Well,
the most recent one you've not got has played under Ange Postecoglou. Has played in Europe under Ange Postecoglou.
What position?
Central midfield.
Soro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ismaila Soro. And the other one would probably maybe Ronnie Dyla type time striker from Sierra Leone. If that
Bio.
Helps.
Bio.
No, well, that's not a bad shout. Guess, but it's not Mo Bangura.
Mo,
or was that before that? Was that your time? Was it? My apologies.
Mo.
Anyway, back tomorrow with Hugh Evans and Kenny Miller from 6, and Callum Gallagher is up next.